Jay Riemersma grew up in Zeeland, Michigan, and played professional football with the NFL for 9 years before moving back to Holland, Michigan, with his wife and three children. He is currently considering a run for the U.S. Congress in the 2nd District. I sat down with him earlier this week to learn how stories from his parents and grandparents impacted his life. I'm Dave Booby with Audio Memories. It's August 4, 2009, and I'm sitting here with Jay Riemersma. Jay, you grew up in Zeeland, Michigan. You went to college in Ann Arbor and lived in New York and Pennsylvania playing football for the National Football League. Were there any stories from your childhood that inspired you during those years of traveling around?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can remember as a young adult working at Jansen Turkey Farms and having the opportunity to work there during the summer. And one of the lessons that my folks taught me at an early age was the importance of, you know, your word and fulfilling what you've set out to accomplish. And I can remember one time we were spreading manure out on the fields and the manure spreader broke. And called Mr. Jansen. He brought out two pitchforks because I was there with a couple other guys and said, okay, what I want you to do is drive the tractor a couple yards up, pitch it off, and then take turns driving the tractor. And I can tell you, the other two guys that I was with, at the end of the day, we were done. And we were committed that we weren't coming back the following day. And I can remember sitting around the table at home and saying, Mom and Dad, this is how my day went, and I'm not going back. And Mom and Dad said, you know what? You committed to seeing this through the summer, and you are going back. And I think that those lessons that I learned around the table instilled in me the value of hard work and being a man of your word, committing and seeing something through to the end. I think those things helped me to accomplish the things that I did in my career.
You had mentioned that you were sitting around the dinner table at home when talking to your folks. Did you have a lot of dinners at home with your family growing up?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's a shame, but I think we had more dinners growing up as a family in my generation than we do at our house. You know, it's just so busy. Kids are going every which way. Sports are starting to take affect our family and the dinner time, but yeah, dinner at our house, in the Riemersma house, was an important part of our daily lives. As my sisters, who were older than me, and I got more involved in sports, it kind of fell apart, but definitely was an important part of our household.
And you still get together with your family around the table from time to time? I mean, with your parents and your siblings?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we get together every so often, Sunday afternoon meals at Mom and Dad's house. You know, that's part of the deal. But, you know, birthdays are a big thing for our family, and we always get together with the cousins and celebrate cousin birthdays and that type of thing around a good meal. We always have plenty of food.
From sitting around the table, any favorite stories did your parents or your family, grandparents, if you got together with them, ever have any stories that they shared?
Oh, gosh, you're putting me on the spot. Yeah, there was, I guess I look back and I can remember a story of my mom talking about growing up in Evansville, Indiana. And looking back on it, she said they were extremely poor. And yet growing up, they didn't realize how poor they were, you know. They scraped by trying to put food on the table and that type of thing. And I can remember my mom talking about it and having a tear kind of well up in her eye as she kind of articulated what they struggled through and how they actually, you know, grew in the garden out in the backyard. And then that's what they ate. And but they always had enough for missionaries that came through town. And then, you know, one of the things that my grandma really enjoyed and grandpa really enjoyed was when missionaries came through, they were always staying at their house and they got a lot to eat, even if that meant that the rest of them kind of had to scale back. And so that story really rings true is, they were poor, but they didn't realize that they were poor.
Did you get a chance to interact with any of those missionaries, or was that before your time then that they hosted those missionaries?
No, they, you know, I can remember when I was in Evansville, different missionaries would come through and then speak at church or what have you. And Yeah, no, it was definitely a part of, you know, our family, especially on my mom's side, that, you know, that was just part of what Grandma and Grandpa Crane did. I mean, they hosted missionaries. They gave them a clean bed and lots of food, and that was just part of the deal. And, yes, I do remember that vividly.
So how'd you get from Evansville, Indiana, to Zeeland, Michigan?
My parents actually met at Grace Bible College in Grand Rapids, and my dad's family is originally from Zeeland. My mom's side of the family is from Evansville, Indiana, and so they met at Grace, and my dad actually took a job in Evansville for a couple years, and then I was born in Evansville, and then 3 months into my life, they moved back to Zeeland, and he took a job at Mead Johnson's, and he has been a pharmacist for a number of years.
Thinking about your family stories, the stories that you've heard from your grandmother, like hosting missionaries and different family stories, the manure spreader that you were talking about, how are those stories that you've heard and that you grew up with different than some of the stories of your NFL teammates?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think the obvious answer to that question is that I had positive family stories. You know, I grew up in a Christian home with two great Christian parents that instilled in me the value of having a great work ethic, understanding that the most important decision in my life was to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and then also to give back in whatever way I could. The stories that I saw frequently in the NFL were stories of broken families, were stories of, you know, kids being, well, the NFL players not being raised by their family, being raised by a grandma or an aunt and that type of thing. And so it really was a contrast from what I came from. And then some of the stories that I heard from some of those guys in the NFL. It was really a testimony to my family and the value they placed on family as well as our faith versus just kind of, you know, the family unit being completely broken down. So it was a stark contrast.
Did you ever have a chance to share some of your family stories with your teammates?
Oh, absolutely, and I'd share the good times and tell them about my family and what we did to have fun and our family unit that was, you know, together, that was whole, and, you know, it was foreign to a lot of those guys, you know, unbelievably so, but they really appreciated, I think, where I came from and what I stood for and the value that my family has placed in me. And in our family, our kids, I mean, it was evident with a lot of the guys that had broken families that Jay Reamersmith's family was a cool family. Let's get to know them.
What was the story that they liked to hear the best?
Oh, I don't know. Some of the stories about mom and dad disciplining me and that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's interesting because you look back and you think, you know, they were pretty hard on me. But when you're around a group of guys like I was in the NFL for a number of years that didn't have that kind of discipline, they kind of gravitate to that. They want to see, you know, how you were raised and how your parents positively impacted your life. And so I was able to share a lot of those stories.
Traveling with professional athletes, how did you avoid the temptations that arose?
Well, yeah, that's a great one. You know, people often ask me, you know, what's the deal with these athletes? Why are they always in trouble? And I say, well, they got too much time and too much money. Now, you would think, wait a second, that's not a problem. But if you don't have what I would categorize as a spiritual dimension, or you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, those two things can get you in trouble in a hurry because, you know, temptation is at your fingertips. There's people that want to be around you, want to take advantage of you, want just to be involved in your life for all the wrong reasons. And I think one of the reasons that I was able to kind of stay away from those temptations and those pressures was because of the relationship I had with my Heavenly Father. And that adds stability in your life. You know, you're not too high, you're not too low, but you're able to overcome those temptations because he overcame so much for us.
Now, there must have been a population within the team, within the NFL that you traveled that said, come on, Jay, that whole Heavenly Father thing, what's that all about? I mean, how can you believe that?
Yeah, you know, but I would tell you that it was harder in college. You know, when you get in the NFL, guys have families, they have wives, they have kids. You know, there's a whole lot of maturity that has taken place in their lives, so they're more inclined to kind of accept who you are and the belief system you have. In college, it was a completely different story. But I was very fortunate when I got to Buffalo, a bunch of Christian guys took me under their wing and kind of taught me the ropes and said, hey, this is how you play this game. This is how you're successful. And oh, by the way, this is how you give back to community. And so I am very appreciative of that input that they put into my life.
Now I have to go back a little bit to a story that's my experience that always comes to mind immediately when I hear the name Jay Riemersma. If you go back to New Groningen Elementary School, I was in fourth grade, you were in fifth grade, and I remember a couple of mean fifth graders ran past me and my friends by the long jump sand pits, if you remember the long jump sand pits, and one of those mean fifth graders pushed my friend down into the sand pit.
It wasn't me?
No, it wasn't you. And what I remember is that you came back, extended your hand out to my friend, helped him out of the sandpit, and apologized for those other guys. You don't remember anything of that?
No, I don't. You know, I think, again, that speaks to just being raised in the family that I was raised in. You know, there's a lot of experiences that I look back in life and I realize I was given an opportunity to make a difference at the right moment in time. And I could have really messed things up and really been a hypocrite, or I could have really been a detractor from, you know, my family. My dad would always say, you know what, you got one name, you know, just realize you got one name, you know, you got Jay Riemersma. You can either use it for good or you can use it for bad. Make sure that you try to use it for good. And so I just try to be who I am from the inside out, and I realize that it's not about me or what I've done in life. It's about who I am from the inside out, and I think that that's kind of the perspective that I try to exemplify in everything that I do and say.
What kind of stories do you wish that your great-grandparents would have shared with you, or what kind of stories do you wish that you knew about your great-grandparents?
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't know a whole lot about my great-grandparents. You know, my grandparents, I certainly know an awful lot about, and I really relish the stories that they have shared with me. Kara's grandma has told just a bunch of stories and has actually taught some of our kids the old Dutch songs that they sang when they first came over. And, you know, at first it's kind of like, okay, here we go again. We're going to hear that same Dutch song. And then now it's like, you know what? Sophie's starting to recognize, wait a second. You know, this is my great-grandma. I don't know how much longer she's going to be around. And I relish those opportunities. And so now she goes to the old folks' home and sings those songs. And the old ladies and the old men just think it's the greatest thing ever, you know? I think those are the things that we have lost in our culture today. The recognition that those stories and those people are important, and the fact that we need to pass those kind of traditions on to our next generation.
Do you have any of those songs recorded?
I don't think we have those songs recorded.
I'll get you my rate sheet when we leave. You're beginning to run for the second congressional district seat in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. What stories do you want your grandchildren to tell their children about your political career?
Oh, gosh. That, you know what, he was honest. There was a sense of integrity. He did things that were ethical and correct, moral. But above all, I want people to recognize that I honored God with what I did and I said. That's kind of been my, way of handling business from a professional standpoint, meaning I felt like the reason that I played in the NFL for 9 years was because God was giving me a platform to use it for good. And so I think that this is just another extension, another opportunity for me to use what the good Lord has given to me for good. And I really want to make a difference for the people. And I think more than anything else, it's not about me having another position, not me being in the public spotlight, but it's more about how can I give back. And I think that that's why our country government is in the situation it's in, is we don't have the people being elected for the right reasons. It should be about giving back and serving, servant leadership, not necessarily going there because it's a good cushy gig and I get a lot of press. I've been in that limelight. I don't need that.
What do you see as your biggest challenge, assuming that you become elected and that you're the next congressman for the 2nd District? What do you see your biggest challenge as?
Well, I've had a lot of meetings with different people, and they, you know, things are really going extremely well. And one of the things that has been said to me on a couple occasions, they said, you become what you campaigned against. And I think what they're trying to say is, you know what, Jay, you sound extremely good right now. Come back and see me after being in Washington, D.C. for 6, 8, 10 years. I think my biggest challenge won't be that. I think that I am strong enough to stand up for what I believe in. I have no qualms with saying what I think. I think it's just going to be a matter of going down there in Washington, D.C. and making the appropriate connections so that I can make the change that's necessary for our country and our culture to get back on track.
We're jumping around a little bit. Back to your family. What kind of stories do you think are most important to pass down to your children?
Oh, I think the most important stories to pass down to your kids is to show the relevance of having God in their life, having God as the centerpiece of who they are. And there's been different, you know, opportunities in my life, both athletically, to who I chose as my spouse, who I married, that you can really see God's hand in direction. And I think it's important for our kids to recognize, and for us as parents and adults, to pass those stories of deliverance down to their kid, to our kids, to the next generation. Because, you know, kids these days want something tangible. They want something relevant. They want to see, wait a second, this faith thing, how does that work? How does that play out in real life? And we need to do a better job of explaining those stories to them.
How did you meet your wife?
In band. She she was 2nd chair flute and I was 22nd chair trumpet. No, we gravitated towards each other because she was kind of the athlete in our class and I was the athlete in the class. And so we just had common interests, and we met and started dating actually sophomore year in high school.
And so you started dating in high school. And has since, of course, gotten married. Mm-hmm. Now, you were a college football player, professional football player. Mm-hmm. What kept you together?
What kept us together? Well, I think, first of all, having a strong faith, being rooted and grounded in who we are from the inside out, I think played a major role. But as what else kept us together was... you know, for me personally, it was, I did not want to make a mistake that would just totally destroy my family. Let alone destroy Kara. You know, I love her too much to really destroy her. And so you're right. Is there temptations? Absolutely. I mean, people want to be around professional athletes, professional football players. But at the end of the day, my wife and my kids were not even close to being in trouble, because I never wanted to compromise that. You know, I love them dearly, and I've seen too many families destroyed because of a mistake that a guy makes on a late Saturday night. And you know what? It's not worth it. It's not worth it for Kara. It's not worth it for me. It's not worth it, certainly, for my kids.
Political question tied into that. South Carolina governor.
Yeah, you talk about destroying family, right? You know, from a personal standpoint, from a political standpoint, you feel sorry for him. You feel sorry, above all, for his wife and his family. But from a political standpoint, I think he would do his state a good service by stepping down. You know, you realize when you're in the public realm, you live in a glass house. And if you can't carry on ethically in your house, then, you know, perhaps you need to move on and into a different realm.
Well, Jay Reamer Smith, thanks for talking with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Are you sharing your family stories? Save them forever by calling Audio Memories today at 269-751-7017. For Audio Memories, I'm Dave Boovy. Have you considered creating an audio directory for your church? What would it mean to have an entire catalog of stories from your church? How would that allow you to welcome new members, to reach out to your community? If you'd like to know more about creating an audio directory of your church, call today 269-751-7017 or visit audiomemories.org.